We'd been back at work for a week, and he'd been good about keeping his distance, keeping things professional during the day like I'd asked. But the butterflies in my stomach as I watched his heated eyes follow me told me that was all about to go to shit. Evidently, 5 days was his limit. Thank God there were other people in the room. Josh was talking as he flipped through blown-up glossies from last week's photo shoot. The woman in the shots wore sexy, white, lacy lingerie with garters and stockings, yet Chase wasn't paying one bit of attention. Lindsay, who sat to the left of Josh, pointed to one photo and compared it to another, while Chase tracked my every move. I set a binder his secretary had handed me down on the glass table at the other side of the room and put some distance between us by sitting on the adjoining couch. Chase's eyes were mischievous when he casually got up from his desk, walked to the little refrigerator built into the credenza, and pulled out a few water bottles. He placed one in front of Josh and Lindsay as they continued to speak, and then walked over to hand one to me. His eyes blazed as our fingers brushed. He leaned in, clearly not caring if anyone was paying attention.
"Saw this in the hallway outside of your office. Figured you dropped it."
He handed me a chapstick. The glimmer in his eye told me to take a closer look. So I did. He'd handed me a Dr. Pepper-flavored chapstick, and his eyes dipped to my mouth. I smiled like a schoolgirl at how sweet he was. Finding a workaround for his not liking my lip addiction. My answer was to wait until he sat back down behind his desk and then open the tube and slowly line my mouth. Very slowly. When I licked my lips with as much obscenity as I could possibly ooze, Chase looked like he was a few breaths away from clearing the room. His stare turned feral. I'd just prodded a bull, and I happened to be wearing a red dress. I squirmed in my seat and attempted to avoid his ferocious gaze. But it was impossible. He was just too irresistible, and when he had that dominating glimmer in his eye, he ambushed all of my senses. That was most likely why, when no one else was looking and he mouthed, "Go into my bathroom and take off your panties," I was even considering it. But these were my rules. If anyone had to abide by them, it should be me. I sat farther back on the couch and continued to listen from a distance, rather than pull a chair up to his desk and join the three of them. Last night, Chase had a business dinner. The night before, I'd had dinner with my mother, and earlier in the week, one or the other of us had needed to work late each night to catch up from being gone. Because of our schedules, we hadn't been together since our trip. Hadn't even so much as touched, and I was feeling as needy as Chase looked. After a while, Chase glanced at the clock and asked if we'd like to order in lunch with him.
"Can't. Meeting Bridezilla for lunch so she can show me swatches of something I don't care about," Josh said.
Lindsay declined too. "I brought lunch." Chase looked at me.
"Hungry? How about I order us the same thing we had in Kansas for lunch both days?"
Josh and Lindsay turned in my direction. I smiled at Chase and willed my blush to stay at bay as I remembered what he'd eaten for lunch. Me. "Sure, that sounds good." I offered the first explanation that came to mind. "I have a thing for Kentucky Fried Chicken." As Josh and Chase finished talking about mocking up some photo ads, Chase walked to his wall of glass and pressed the button for the blinds, concealing his office from the outside hallway. Even though no one asked, when they were fully closed, Chase said,
"Sam would chew my ear off if she walked by and we were holding up glossies of a half-naked model."
He paused and looked at me.
"Plus, I like to eat without being watched."
A few minutes later, we broke for lunch. Chase shut the door behind Josh and Lindsay. When he stared at me and locked the door, I felt the sound of the audible clank between my legs.
This is not going to be easy. Chase had told Josh to leave the glossies so we could look at them over lunch, and I tried to busy myself examining them as I stood at his desk. My eyes closed when he came up behind me, close enough that I could feel the heat from his body and his breath on my neck. But not touching.
You didn't take off your panties like I asked.
Is that what you mouthed? I couldn't make out the words. He inched closer.
Liar.
Grabbing one of my hips, he pulled me against him.
You want to know what I think?
He whispered.
I think you kept them on because you're wet and you're trying to hide it from me.
I am not.
Only one way to find out.
Before I could respond, he lifted the back of my dress and pressed his hand against the damp lace of my underwear. My eyes closed. Chase. He buried his face in my hair from behind, inhaling deeply, then wrapped it around his hand and tugged my head back.
You're soaked. How long will you stay mad at me for bending you over this desk and fucking you, Buttercup?
We shouldn't.
Your mouth says no, but your body is screaming yes.
Shoving everything on his desk to one end, Chase gently guided me down until my chest pressed against the cold wood. Following, he covered my back with his front, and his erection pressed against my ass. I was fighting a losing battle, but wasn't going down without at least one more feeble attempt. What if someone comes?
That's the point.
His teeth found my earlobe and bit down. At the same time, he lifted my hands over my head and wrapped my fingers around the other side of the desk, guiding me to hold on. I tried again. I don't think I can be quiet.
I'll cover your mouth with mine before you come.
Cool air replaced his body as he stood and unzipped his pants. One of his hands tore at my panties, and he hiked my dress up to expose my bare ass. He palmed it in his hand.
This ass. I can't wait to take it. But not here. I won't be able to keep you quiet when you have my cock in your ass and my fingers in your pussy at the same time.
My eyes rolled into the back of my head as his fingers pressed down on my swollen clit. He turned my head to the side, leaning down for a kiss, and I sighed into his mouth, murmuring his name as he rubbed his erection against my ass. Chase. I was already on the verge of coming, and there was no way in hell it was going to be quiet.
Okay.
He abruptly stood, and for a second, I wanted to kill him, until I heard the loud tear of the foil packet. I looked back over my shoulder, and I swear, if I hadn't already been wet, I would have been after catching a glimpse of Chase. The condom package he'd ripped open was still between his teeth, and he was sheathing his fully hard cock using both hands. I was already weakened and shaky. It was a good thing I was leaning on the desk because my knees almost buckled at the erotic sight. He wasted no time as he lined up the wide head of his cock and sunk into me.
Fuck,
he groaned as he leaned over and again found my mouth. He kissed me long and hard without moving. Now that he was inside of me, that he'd brought me to the brink of orgasm with his fingers but not finished me off, I needed him to move. The feeling of him filling me from behind was incredible. But I needed that friction.
Chase, can you... Spread your legs wider. I need to be deep inside of you.
I didn't question him. I just widened my stance, opening myself up to whatever it was he needed. In that moment, I no longer cared that we were in his office, that he was my boss, what other people thought of me. The only thing I cared about was him. Him inside of me, moving the way I knew he could to make me feel...
Chase, say it. Tell me you want me here, right now.
I do. I want you, please. Please, move. I whimpered as he reared back and thrust deep. Pulling almost all the way out, he leaned down and angled himself to stroke upward, hitting just the spot, reaching new depths inside of my body. My orgasm didn't take long to build again, and the second time, it came at me with a vengeance. Almost as if the first time I'd pissed it off, not allowing it to thrum its way through my body. This time, it was going to make sure it was unstoppable. My body began to shake as he pumped harder, faster, deeper.
Come, Reese.
His voice was so strained and gruff, it was enough to push me over the edge. Just as I began to cry out his name, he smothered my sound with a kiss. By the time the last quake had racked through my body, I felt as if he'd swallowed my orgasm whole. Swallowed me whole. Eventually, my pants became breaths, and the rise and fall of Chase's chest, plastered to my back, slowed in unison. He kissed my lips gently before going to his ensuite bathroom to clean up and bring me a warm washcloth. I breathed out a sigh of contentment, feeling sated and relaxed. But all that changed when a knock came at the door. Chapter 24. Reese. My cheeks were flushed, my hair was a disheveled mess, and I looked exactly what I was. Fucked. I'd scurried into the bathroom so Chase could answer the door to his office. Looking in the mirror now, there was no doubt I'd made the right choice. I was even more certain of that when I heard Samantha's voice. Great. The VP of Human Resources had just walked into Chase's office, and it probably still reeked of sex. The serenity I'd felt not 3 minutes ago was long gone, replaced by its evil friend, paranoia. Were we loud? Was I loud? Did the whole office hear? What was I doing? I'd set ground rules and promptly broken them the first time Chase pushed a little. Had I learned nothing from my mistakes? Feeling vulnerable, I tiptoed to the door and pressed my ear against it.
What were you doing in here?
Samantha asked.
I was on the phone.
Her voice sounded suspicious. I pictured her squinting her eyes as she spoke.
With whom?
A supplier. Not that it's any of your business. What do you need, Sam?
Her voice became more distant, and I had to strain to hear. She must have walked to the windows or the seating area on the other side of the room. Detective Balsamo called me this morning. She said she's been trying to reach you?
I've been busy.
That's why I'm here asking the question. It's not like you to blow off anything related to Peyton. There was a time when they couldn't get you out of the police station you were so involved.
That was the same time when I blew off my work and spent most nights drunk. Not sure I want to go back to those days.
I get that. I do, but I wanted to make sure nothing else was going on. You seem different lately.
Different? How?
I don't know. More jovial, I suppose.
Jovial? What am I, a jolly old fat guy who rides around in a sleigh?
Something's going on with you. I can tell. Are you seeing someone new? The room went quiet for a minute, and I wondered how he was going to respond. A part of me wanted him to say he was seeing someone, just to hear him declare it out loud to one of his closest friends. Then again, he was talking to the Vice President of Human Resources at my place of employment. Probably not the best person to make that declaration to.
Not that it's any of your business, but yes, I am seeing someone.
Someone you've gone out with more than once?
I'm not talking about this with you.
When do I get to meet her?
When I'm ready.
So that means you expect her to be around a while? Chase huffed.
Did you have any actual business you came here to discuss? Because I was in the middle of something important when you interrupted.
Fine.
but you love my interruptions, and you know it. I heard footsteps move closer, followed by the click of the doorknob. But then it went quiet again without the door closing. Samantha's voice was serious the next time she spoke, and for some reason, I visualized her stopping and looking over her shoulder. I'm glad you're moving on, Chase. I hope it works out, and I get to meet her. She paused for a second and then spoke softly. Maybe it's time you take down the shrine, too. I waited a few minutes before hesitantly cracking open the door. Chase had opened his windows to the outside and was staring at the advertisement on the building across the street. He didn't turn to face me when he spoke.
Sorry about that.
Things went too far today. We shouldn't have... I trailed off. He was quiet. I assumed his mood shift was because of what I'd overheard. Even though I'd never had one, I imagined talking about a dead ex-fiancé was kind of a buzzkill. So he surprised me when he turned and said,
I want this.
Sex in the office? The corner of his lip twitched.
That too. But that's not what I meant.
No? He shook his head.
I want this. Me and you. Sam just came in here to talk about Peyton. The lead detective on the case called her, too. It's time for her annual call where she tells me they're still working on the case, but nothing new has come up.
I'm sorry. She called you last week, right? That must be hard. He nodded.
It was always hard. I'm not saying it's easy now, but normally I go to a dark place after the mention of Peyton's case. I pretty much expected to feel miserable after Sam walked out the door, waited for it to hit me even. Took a deep breath while I was waiting, and you know what happened?
What?
I smelled you on me.
I blinked a few times. I don't understand. He shrugged.
Neither do I. But I fucking love smelling you on me.
He looked so sincere, even though it was a bizarre thing to say. And smelling me made you feel better? His grin was lopsided.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then. I fought a blush. I really should get back to work.
Dinner tonight?
I'd like that. How about if I make you something at my place?
Even better. Then I don't have to wait to get you home to get you naked.
Over the years, I'd learned to accept my neuroses, checking under the bed, behind the shower curtain, and inside every closet had become part of my daily routine. I didn't try to change it. I'd let it become part of who I was instead of letting it define me. Plenty of women were extra precautious, especially living in New York City. Yet, as I was about to enter my apartment with Chase right behind me, I wished like hell that my compulsions could take the night off. I unlocked the top lock, and my key hovered at the next one. Deciding to just get it over with before going inside, I spun around and confessed right there in the hallway. I have a routine when I get home. Chase's eyebrows drew together.
Okay.
I told you I have issues with safety. I check behind the shower curtain, open all the closet doors, check under the bed and couch. I paused and chewed on the nail of my pointer finger. I have a routine, and I do it in a certain order, and I do it at least twice. Sometimes more if I don't feel calm after the second time, although most days it's only two passes. He said nothing for a few seconds, his eyes questioning. Finding I was dead serious, he nodded.
Show me the routine, and after you've finished with the first pass, I'll take the second.
I had no idea what I'd expected him to say, but that answer couldn't have made me happier. He didn't poke fun or belittle my safety concerns. Instead, he was going to pitch in. Pushing up on my tippy toes, I planted a sweet kiss on his lips. Thank you. Tallulah, of course, was waiting with green eyes glowing in the dark. If I ever had a house, I could put the beast in the window to scare away children at Halloween. I flicked on the lights. An ugly kitty stared at Chase as she licked her lips. I know, ugly kitty. I know. He's pretty delectable.
Jesus, she's even uglier in person, he said.
I scooped Tallulah from the top of the couch and kneeled down to check beneath it, beginning my rounds. Chase followed quietly along. After my last checkpoint, I turned to him. That's it. He set the bottle of wine he was holding down on the kitchen counter and took Kitty from my arms.
I'll be back.
Watching him go through my routine was comical. He must have thought holding the kitty was part of it. I didn't bother to tell him because oddly, I really liked watching the oversized man walk around and check my closets for prospective intruders while holding a hairless cat. It certainly wasn't a sight you see every day. Finishing, he bent down, let Tallulah go, and walked into the kitchen where he began to open my drawers, looking for something. Finding a bottle opener, he spoke as he unscrewed the cork.
How'd I do?
Perfect. You're hired. You can come sweep my apartment for criminals every night if you like. He pulled the cork from the bottle with a loud pop.
Be careful. I might take you up on that.
Since my refrigerator was emptier than I'd thought, we ordered in Chinese food. I got the Kung Pao chicken, and Chase chose shrimp lo mein. We sat on the floor in the living room, eating out of containers with chopsticks and swapping meals from time to time. Do you think Sam knows? I asked.
About us?
Yes.
No, she's not subtle. If she knew, she'd say it.
How do you think she would feel if she did know, considering I'm an employee and all?
Doesn't matter. She doesn't like it, I'll make her change the policy.
From prohibited relationships to screwing in the office strongly encouraged? He grinned.
Absolutely.
I'd been thinking about the things I overheard in the bathroom all afternoon. While the conversation was obviously not meant for my ears, I couldn't unhear it. Part of my hesitancy with jumping into this relationship full force with Chase, even aside from him being my boss, was wondering where his relationship with Peyton had left him, whether he could truly move on. What shrine had Sam been referring to? I'd been in his house, and nothing had struck me as unusual. I looked into Chase's eyes when I spoke. I overheard some of your conversation with Sam today from the bathroom. He swallowed his mouthful of food.
Okay.
Can I ask you something that's probably none of my business? He set down his carton on the coffee table.
What's on your mind?
Are you able to move on? He told me he wanted to try. Trying and actually putting the past behind you were two very different things. I should know.
To be honest, the last 7 years I had no idea I wasn't moving on. Thought what I was doing was moving on.
You mean sleeping with women? He shook his head.
Yeah. I was standing in place a long time, not letting go.
But you think you're ready to move on now?
I think it took me this long to realize what moving on meant. It doesn't mean forgetting what you've left behind. It means making her a memory and deciding to have a future without her in it.
Wow. That's sad and beautiful at the same time. He took my hand.
This feels right. So to answer your question, Am I able to move on now? It feels like I already have.
Chase was sitting on the floor with his back against the couch. Setting my container down on the table next to his, I climbed over him, straddling his hips and gently kissed his lips.
That was a really good answer, I whispered. Oh yeah? Do I get a prize for the right answer?
Chase's thumb brushed gently along my jaw.
You do. You get your pick of rewards. Tell me how you'd like to receive yours, and your wish is my command.
I felt his cock harden beneath me.
Any way I want.
I nuzzled into him.
Any way you want.
He grabbed a fistful of my hair and pulled hard, gaining access to my neck. Leaning in, his tongue licked its way from the top of my throat down to my collarbone. Reaching the soft spot between my neck and shoulder, he sunk his teeth in, not breaking the skin, but strong enough that I suspected I'd have a mark tomorrow. I moaned, and Chase ground up, pushing his erection into me with a groan.
Does any way I want include tying you to the bed for days?
Just as he pulled me down to him again, sealing his mouth over mine, his cell phone began to ring.
That's you, I mumbled into our joined mouths. Ignore it.
His hand slipped under my blouse and found my pert nipples, which made ignoring the ringing cell easy. But then, 30 seconds after it stopped, it started again. Someone really wanted to reach Chase.
Don't you even want to see who it is?
His dexterous fingers unhooked my bra.
Don't care.
But when his phone stopped and started a third time, even Chase couldn't ignore it anymore. He groaned and reached into his pocket to dig his cell out.
Shit. It's my brother-in-law. He never calls. I need to take it.
I leaned back and gave him room.
What's up?
I heard a man's voice, but couldn't make out the words.
Isn't it too early?
And then...
Yeah. Okay, I'm on my way.
He swiped to end the call.
What's going on? My sister's in labor. She's a month early, but her water broke, and they said the baby is far enough along that it's safe to deliver. It sounds like she's going to have him really soon.
Wow. That's exciting. Even though it had sounded like he was going to leave right away, Chase made no immediate attempt to move. So I prodded him. Go. I'll take a rain check on tonight. Besides, I teased. I didn't have any rope anyway.
Will you come with me? Keep me company. Meet my new nephew.
Sure. I'd like that. Let me quick clean up so Ugly Kitty doesn't polish off the rest of the Chinese food, and we'll go. Evan, Chase's brother-in-law, had just given us an update and gone back into his wife. He'd been dressed in blue scrubs and a hat with matching blue paper booties over his shoes.
How is what he was wearing any different than street clothes?
Chase asked.
He just walked through the hospital and out into the waiting room wearing that outfit. It's not like it's any more sterile than what I'm wearing now.
You have a point, I said. Maybe they just make the father wear it so he feels like he's part of the team.
Maybe. But if I know my sister, Evan's the only teammate she's berating right now while she's in labor.
I shrugged. That seems fair, if you ask me. He didn't have to walk around carrying a bowling ball for 9 months and doesn't have to suffer through labor. The least he can do is take some abuse. Chase smiled at me.
Is that so?
It is. We were the only two in the waiting room, so I pulled my legs up and snuggled into him. Chase pulled me closer and wrapped an arm around me.
You want to berate your husband someday?
That was a strange question. Not on a daily basis, I hope. He chuckled.
I meant in the delivery room. I was asking if you wanted to have kids someday.
Oh, I laughed. I totally missed that.
Kind of figured that from your answer.
I thought for a minute before responding. I never really thought I'd get married, much less have kids. I guess my parents didn't give us the best example. Even before everything happened with Owen, all they did was fight all the time. I remember playing house with my friend Allison when we were in elementary school. She'd pretend to be the mom and be baking a cake in the fake oven, and I'd be the dad and come home and pick a fight. Her mom overheard us play arguing one day and thought we'd gotten into a real fight. When we told her we were playing house, she asked why we were yelling. And I said, because the daddy came home. I remember her just staring at me, not knowing what to say. Chase squeezed me. I started to see things a little clearer as I grew older, realizing not all families were as dysfunctional as mine. But by then, I was already checking under the bed 2 and 3 times when I walked in the door. I guess I just couldn't imagine having a family of my own when I was afraid of imaginary things that lurked in my apartment.
Sounds like what you really need is someone to make you feel safe. The rest will just fall into place.
I pulled my head out from its comfy place in the crook of his shoulder and looked up at him. You might be right. If only it were that easy. It was after 5 in the morning when a booming voice woke us. Evan looked exhausted, stunned and out of his mind happy when he announced he had a son. He and Chase exchanged hugs and talked for a few minutes before Evan said he'd better go check on his wife.
Room 210. I have to get back before she convinces the doctor to give me a vasectomy without anesthesia. But they said she'll probably be in her room within the hour.
Chase headed to the lobby to get us some coffees while I went to the bathroom to wash up. I had some dried drool on my cheek, and my hair looked like a giant rat's nest, even though I'd slept sitting up in one position. Splashing some water on my face, I realized I was about to meet Chase's sister for the first time. Over the last few days, it felt like our relationship had changed. It wasn't just physical anymore. Chase and I had shared a lot about our lives and the things that made us who we were, and now I was already about to meet some of his family. Things moving this fast would normally scare the crap out of me. Yet I found I was more anxious and excited than nervous. Anna was the spitting image of Chase. Only somehow his rough edges were smoothed out and his masculinity had been replaced with feminine beauty. I smiled at the way his sister lit up when she saw him.
You're here?
He pecked her cheek.
I couldn't listen to you complain about missing it for the next 50 years. Of course I'm here.
Evan slapped Chase on the back.
Come on, walk with me to the nursery. They should be finished cleaning him up by now.
Chase did a quick introduction for Anna and me before leaving the room with his brother-in-law.
I had a feeling I'd meet you eventually, she said.
I was surprised she knew anything about me, even that I existed.
Congratulations. I'm sorry if I'm intruding. I wanted to keep Chase company while he waited. I can wait outside and give you some privacy. I just had half the hospital staring up my gown. Getting to shut my legs feels like privacy at this point.
Her smile was genuine. I laughed.
Did you pick out a name for your son yet?
Sawyer.
We're naming him after my dad. Sawyer Evan. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm glad Chase brought you. He talks about you at our weekly dinners.
I'll admit, I was curious.
Curious? Why?
He doesn't usually talk about women, doesn't bring them to any family events, and definitely doesn't leave them alone around me.
I smiled.
He's afraid you'll tell all his secrets?
Yep. And I better hurry and do it, because the nursery is only down the hall.
I thought she was kidding, but then her face turned serious.
My brother is a great guy. Ask him, he'll tell you, she joked. But the thing is, underneath all that cocky arrogance, I think he's afraid of a relationship.
Because of Peyton, you mean?
Anna looked surprised.
You know the whole story?
I think so. Can't say I blame him for being nervous about getting close to anyone after what happened. People are afraid for much less than that.
Like me, for example.
She nodded, like we were on the same page. Just don't let him fool you. He walks around like he's wearing a coat of armor, but the truth is, there's some chinks in that protective shield.
Maybe that's why we get along so well. My armor has some pretty big bullet holes.
But thank you. I'll try to remember mine are just more noticeable than his.
Chase walked in behind Evan, who was wheeling a plastic baby carrier. In the center of the translucent tray lay a tiny bundle swaddled in blue hospital blankets.
Didn't even have to look at him to know which one was yours,
Chase teased his sister.
He was screaming so loud. Kid's got your lungs already.
Her husband gently lifted the baby and placed him in Anna's arms. She cooed to him and then lifted him up so we could see his sweet little face.
This is your Uncle Chase. I hope you got your brains from him, but your looks from me.
Chase leaned closer.
Considering you look just like me, that's a smart wish.
Anna rocked the baby in her arms when he started to fuss.
Have you talked to Mom and Dad yet? I told Evan not to call since it was so late.
I haven't, but they wouldn't have been able to get a flight up from Florida until this morning anyway.
We stayed with Anna and Evan another half hour until Anna yawned. She must have been exhausted after being in labor all night. Hell, I was exhausted just from napping in the waiting room. Traffic was light in the city as we pulled out of the lot around the corner from the hospital.
Your place or mine?
That's presumptuous of you, I teased.
You make me keep my distance at the office during the week. It's Saturday. I figure the weekend is mine.
I thought back to what had transpired yesterday, what we were almost caught doing.
You didn't seem to be keeping your distance yesterday when you had me pinned down face first on your desk.
He groaned and adjusted himself in his seat.
Your place. It's closer. And now that you just reminded me of how spectacular your ass looked raised in the air, that's the way I'm going to take you the first time when we get home.
It was just a figure of speech. I knew. But I loved the sound of Chase saying, when we get home. Although, what I loved even more was what he did when we arrived at my place. Taking the keys from my hand, he unlocked my bevy of locks on the front door and walked inside first. He then completed my ritualistic entry sweep. Twice, in my exact neurotic order, all while holding Tallulah. After he finished, he kissed my forehead.
Good?
Nodding, I pushed up on my toes and kissed him on the lips.
Thank you.
Anytime. By the way, I called the guy who did the security at the office. They're going to install a monitoring system here. I've referred a lot of business his way. He owed me a favor, so he's doing the install free, and the monthly cost will be absorbed into the office bill.
What? No.
Too late. It's being installed next week. He's going to get back to me with which day he can get here. I'll need a key to let them in, or you'll need to be here.
Chase, I don't need an alarm.
You're right. You don't. But it will make me feel better, especially when I'm traveling and out of town.
But...
He lowered his head and silenced me by pressing his lips to mine.
Please.
Let me do this. It will make me feel better.
I huffed and stared at him. Eventually, I gave.
Fine. Thank you.
I dug my extra set of keys out of a drawer for him, told him to relax, and went into the kitchen to make us some omelets for breakfast. We ate in the living room, in front of the TV, watching Good Morning America, and then snuggled on the couch, him lying behind me. Although we'd slept for a little while at the hospital, both of us had been sitting up in chairs, which wasn't productive sleep at all. I yawned.
Your sister seems great.
She's a pain in the ass. She's good people.
He took a deep breath in and out, and I felt his breathing begin to slow. After only a few minutes, I thought he might have fallen asleep, but then he spoke, his voice groggy.
She's going to make a good mom. So will you someday.
Chapter 25. Chase, 7 years ago. I couldn't smile at another person. Thank you for coming. I shook another faceless hand. Next. Yes, she was a beautiful woman. Next. I'll be okay, thank you. Next. It just needed to be over. I was supposed to ride with Peyton's mother and her sisters from the funeral service over to the cemetery, but when the back door of the limousine closed, my lungs suddenly felt deprived of air. I couldn't breathe. Couldn't fucking breathe. My chest burned, and I knew I was 2 seconds away from gasping for air. Flinging the back door open, I gulped fresh breaths before excusing myself with a lie that I needed to escort my parents. A light, misting rain had just begun, and everyone hurried from the church to their parked cars. Tucking my head down, I walked past the row of waiting stretches without anyone noticing. So I just kept on walking. 4 or 5 blocks later, the mist had turned to pouring rain. I was soaked, yet didn't feel anything. Not a damn thing. Inside and out, I was bone dry. My judgment wasn't the best, which was probably why I decided to walk into a seedy bar 1/2 mile in the opposite direction of the cemetery and plant myself on a stool. Jack and Coke with an extra shot of Jack on the side. The old bartender looked me over and nodded. I peeled off my drenched dark suit jacket and tossed it on the empty chair beside me. There was only one other person in the bar, an old man who had his head down on the bar and an empty pint glass gripped in his hand. "What's up with him?" I asked the bartender when he brought my drinks. He looked over his shoulder. He shrugged. "That's Barney." He said it like that would explain everything. I nodded and picked up my shot, sucking it back. The liquid singed my throat the same way the air had in the limousine. I slid the empty shot glass back over to the bartender and pointed my eyes down to it with a nod. He spoke as he poured.
"Only 10:30 in the morning."
My phone started to ring, so I slipped it from my pocket and tossed it on the bar, hitting ignore without even looking at the name of the caller. Picking up the full shot glass, I again tossed back the liquid. It burned less going down the second time. I liked the way it felt.
"Keep 'em coming."
The bartender hesitated.
"Got a problem you want to talk about?"
Looking over at Barney, I shook my head.
"I'm Chase."
A big mound of dirt was covered with a green tarp. The tents set up to shelter the mourners were still standing, but the people were long gone. Well, all except one lone man standing by himself. I'd missed the beginning of the graveside service and spent the part I did see standing off in the distance where the taxi had dropped me off. Preferring to say my goodbyes in private, I figured I'd wait for whomever the latecomer was to take off. The alcohol had slowed my responses, so it took almost a full minute for the face to register when the man turned around. Chester Morris. Peyton's goddamned father. I'd never met him myself, only seen him in pictures. Yet I was positive it was him. Mostly because Peyton looked just like the man. My heart, which had been beating listlessly in my chest, suddenly hammered inside of my ribcage. How dare he show up here? This was all his fault. All his fucking fault. Without thinking it through, I trudged through the wet grass toward the grave. He was looking down and didn't see me coming. She was following a homeless person. He turned around, having no idea who I was, and hung his head, nodding. I read it in the paper. Do you know why she was following him? My voice rose. Why she took it upon herself to try to help every fucking homeless person in this city? Who are you? I ignored him. Because after you walked out on her mother and sisters, she practically lived in a shelter for years. I needed someone to blame, and her useless piece of shit of a father was as good as anyone. In fact, the more I thought about it, the more I realized it wasn't just a drunken thought that had popped into my intoxicated mind. Her father really was to blame. At least he had the decency to look hurt. That's not fair. Really? I think it's more than fair. A man's choices are his own. You think you can just walk away from your family and not be responsible for your own actions? For the consequences left behind in your wake? I stepped closer, jabbing my finger into his chest as I spoke. You left them. They ate in a fucking shelter every night. She died trying to help someone who ate in one. That's no fucking coincidence. His eyes narrowed. You're that rich fiancé she had, aren't you? I didn't give an answer because he didn't deserve one. Disgusted, I shook my head. Just leave. He made the sign of the cross, took one last look at me, and started to walk away. Turning back, he stopped. Where were you when she was being attacked? You're so quick to point the finger at me for something that happened 20 years ago. If you're looking for a person to hold accountable, maybe you should look in the mirror.
Chapter 26. Reese. Travis was perched at the front desk, flirting with the receptionist when I walked in on Monday morning. I'd slept at Chase's last night, and we'd come to the office early together. Well, not actually to the office. We'd gone as far as Starbucks, walking side by side. Chase wasn't happy when I made him give me a minute's head start after we picked up our coffee, but I didn't want to stroll in together and raise suspicions. Finding Travis at the front desk, I was glad I'd forced the issue.
You look especially smoking hot this morning.
He fell in step with me, draping his arm around my shoulder.
When are you going to let me take you out to dinner?
Never. Travis and I had become friends. His flirting was over the top, but harmless, and more of an ongoing joke than anything.
Come on. Never is a long time.
You probably shouldn't hold your breath. He laughed.
Lunch, then?
I told you, Travis, I don't date people I work with. Was that even a lie? More like a technicality. I don't work with Chase, I work for him.
Ah, read your email.
He winked.
You are having lunch with me today.
What are you talking about?
We're having a team meeting at noon. Josh is bringing in lunch. So, you're having a hot lunch date with me whether you like it or not.
Arriving at my office with Travis still in tow, I flicked on the lights and walked to my desk. If the entire team is there, it's not really a date, is it, Travis?
Maybe not, but I'm going to pretend it's a date. I bet you secretly will, too. I think underneath all that negative vibing you're throwing my way, you're really into me.
I was busy powering up my laptop, so the voice that came next surprised me.
I believe we have a no-fraternization policy.
Chase's voice was terse. He stood in the doorway, a full head taller than Travis. Because of the casual nature of the office, Travis probably assumed Chase was joking. But I saw the tick of boss man's jaw. There was an element of something else there. Jealousy, maybe? Whether or not Travis thought Chase was serious, he took the hint to disappear when the boss stepped into my office. But not before saying,
"See you at our lunch date."
Chase raised an eyebrow once it was just the two of us. Instead of answering, I had a little fun. "I thought you were getting rid of that pesky fraternization policy, Mr. Parker."
"I'll get rid of it if you let me mark my territory here in the office."
"Mark your territory? Is that like bite marks or a hickey?" He stalked closer to my desk.
"I was thinking more along the lines of you screaming my name while I bury my face in your pussy right there on that desk. But if you'd like a few bite marks, I'm happy to oblige."
Chase inched closer to me. I put a hand to his chest, stopping him. "Keep it right there, boss man. It's only Monday. We're not starting off our week like we ended it on Friday." Just at that moment, in my peripheral vision, I caught Samantha walking by. Unfortunately, she'd seen us before I saw her. Stopping in my doorway, she looked at us funny. I pulled my hand away, but we were still standing close. Too close. Chase was in my personal space, and he didn't back up. Her brows were slightly drawn as she read the unspoken clues. "Morning."
"Hey, Sam,"
Chase said. I pulled my chair out and sat, anxious to put some breathing room between us. "Good morning," she spoke to Chase. "You have some time to chat this morning? I have some things I want to go over with you."
"Calendar is open until afternoon,"
he told her, then turned to me with a twinkle in his eye.
"Unless you were ready to pick up where we left off on Friday."
I spoke through a forced smile. "No, definitely not ready for that." Chase turned to Sam.
"It's your lucky day. I'm all yours then."
She rolled her eyes. "I'll come by in a half hour." Sam was about to walk away until Chase stopped her.
"Oh, I forgot to text you. Anna had her baby on Saturday."
"She did? Wow, congratulations. Almost a month early. How is she?"
"She's good."
"A boy, right? Everything good?"
"Yep. Sawyer Evan. 10 fingers and toes and the lungs of his mother."
She smiled warmly. "That's great. I'm happy for them. I'll give her a call next week. Did the Parker genetics dominate as usual? Sawyer looks like you and Anna?" Chase looked to me for confirmation.
"I think he does."
Considering they were both staring at me, I had no choice but to answer. I wanted to kill Chase for what he just revealed. I nodded. "Yes, he looks exactly like the two of you." Sam looked back and forth between us and nodded with a measured smile. "I'll let you get settled in. See you in a bit." As soon as she was out of earshot, I whacked Chase with my notebook. "Are you kidding me?"
"What?"
He almost looked like he didn't know what I was talking about. "You're standing in my office, in my personal space, and just told the Vice President of Human Resources that I went with you to the hospital to see your sister. Why don't you just send out an email to the company announcing that we're sleeping together?"
"I wasn't thinking. Sorry."
"No, you're not. You did that intentionally," I snapped. He frowned.
"I actually didn't. But what's the big deal? Sam and I are friends. She's not going to care."
"It's not about her, Chase. It's about me. I care. I don't want people to know because it will make it really uncomfortable for me when we aren't seeing each other anymore." Chase's jaw flexed. He was obviously annoyed.
I wouldn't want to screw up something you're so sure will happen.
Chase,
I'll let you get to work.
The rest of the day, I felt like shit. Chase passed by our lunch marketing meeting, eyed Travis sitting next to me through the glass conference room windows, and didn't bother to stop. By late afternoon, I was unable to focus. After Chase exposed our relationship as something more than boss-employee to Sam this morning, I'd been intentionally hurtful. I knew saying when we broke up would piss him off. It had upset him the first time, when I'd said it without realizing. I tried to put myself in his position. What if he'd said something similar in a different context? How would I feel if I overheard a friend asking him if he wanted to try out a new singles bar, and Chase responded, "I'm seeing someone, but maybe after we break up." Oh. For the past few weeks, I'd been worried about the fallout from something I felt was inevitable, based on my track record. I was afraid to believe that maybe, just maybe, us ending wasn't the foregone conclusion to our story. But I certainly didn't want us to end. Chase had never even hinted that he wanted us to end. Just the opposite. He'd been confident and sure about us since things began. Nothing like my previous office romance. So why was I so hell-bent on convincing myself it would end badly? I was staring at the screen on my laptop when the answer came to me. It was so clear that I realized there's a reason obvious and oblivious are so close in spelling. I'd been absolutely oblivious to not see it sooner, because it was obvious I was falling in love with Chase. The thought terrified me, yet acknowledging it also brought new perspective. And I owed Chase both an apology and an adult conversation on the subject of making things public between us. I wasn't sure I was ready for that, but at the very least, we should discuss it rather than going with my one-sided decision stemming from my own insecurities. Holding a file so it would appear my visit was business-related, I walked over to Chase's office. His secretary was coming out. "Is Chase gone for the day?"
"No, he just stepped out for a while."
She looked at her watch.
"He should be back soon, though. Want me to tell him you stopped by?"
Actually, I'm just going to leave this file and a note for him, if you don't mind."
"Go right ahead."
Smiling, she walked back to her desk where her phone was already ringing. Inside Chase's empty office, I jotted a quick note and was about to walk back out when I changed my mind about my approach. A half hour later, I sat in my office responding to an email from Josh when I decided to click on Chase's name. The light that had been red a little while ago, indicating he was not currently online, was now green. My nails clicked away on the keyboard. "To Chase Parker. From Reese Ansley. Subject: Lost and Found. Do we have one here? By the way, I'm sorry for being a jerk this morning." I waited a few minutes until my laptop pinged, notifying me that a new email had arrived. "To Reese Ansley. From Chase Parker. Subject: Come here." "Not that I'm aware of. Apology accepted. Took you long enough. Get your ass to my office." Fidgeting in my seat at just the dominating tone of his email, I typed back. "To Chase Parker. From Reese Ansley. Subject: You really need one." Without a lost and found, misplaced items can end up anywhere. "Your office? Is there something you need from me?" I pictured Chase's chocolatey eyes darkening as he thought about his response. "To Reese Ansley. From Chase Parker. Subject: What I need." What did you lose? I need lots of things from you, starting with your mouth wrapped around my car.